Welcome back to the show. We're super excited you're here today, and you're going to love, love, love my next guest. Wonder who it is? Well, I'm glad you asked. His name is J.P. McEvoy, and he's a speaker, writer, lawyer, and educator. Now, as the managing partner of Conduct Law, a business law firm, J.P. has been assisting business owners grow and sell their business successfully for over 15 years. Did I say 15? Yes, I did. In addition, JP is an international best-selling author and the host of The Millionaire's Lawyer, a five-star rated podcast on a range of topics from business, legal, and accounting perspectives. If you stand and sit down, and if you sit and stand up, because the man is here. Hey, JP, how you doing?
Hey, Raven, I am doing absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for that wonderful intro. It's nice to be here and sharing this day with your wonderful listeners.
Well, you know, we've been talking about this for a couple years.
A little while now. That's right. That's right.
It's been but you know what? This is a good time. You know, timing is everything, right?
Yeah, and it always happens for a reason at a certain time. We're going to have an interesting conversation today. Obviously, interesting times, and it's changing the way people are doing things.
More of that, and it influences it. This in 2020, you'll know why he said interesting times, because we're dealing with the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. Most of us are locked down, and if you're listening to this and it's years later, well, you know what? You're still going to enjoy the interview, right, JP?
Absolutely.
The information works.
That's right.
Before that and after the virus, correct?
That's just what it is, right? It's changing how we do things. And for people that look, you know, sort of at the macro level, they're going to be able to see the patterns and the trends that are going to carry on from this day forward.
Mm-hmm. Before we get into our deep conversation and enlightening conversation for our listeners today, why don't you just take 2 minutes and kind of share a little bit about you?
Yeah, thank you. Yes, for me, I've been helping people sell their businesses for about 15 years. I've been a lawyer for about 20. And for myself, my journey to become lawyer, I guess it's not a straight line, that's for sure. Because coming out of university, I came out at a great time, graduated from my undergrad program, and some of my buddies were going off and starting some of these dot-coms. And have become billionaires in the process. So very, very wealthy people. For myself, they would sort of let me know what was going on while I was in law school. And I got back to working with some of them. And so as a consequence, I took a break during law school, helped sell a couple of these companies, and learn a lot in the process. And as they say, from there, it got me back to law in a way that I can now teach other people to do the same thing.
Wow. You do so much. I mean, that's like a tip of the iceberg of what you really do. I'm looking at your bio here, and it says you're a contributing writer for the New Economy Watch, founding member of the Ottawa Junior Chamber of Commerce. You know, you got the law firm. You got a lot going on. How do you balance it all out? Well, now I know it's easier because you got a little, you know, bought back a little bit of your time having to stay home. But in general, how do you balance all that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I get the same question from friends as well. And I realize that a lot of the time that people spend with their downtime, and it's not to say that it's wasted, but people choose how they spend every waking moment. For me, from the moment I get up in the morning, I have a ritual where I prepare myself for the day and think about what I want to accomplish during that day, what I'll focus on, and I drive myself through that day, keeping in mind what I have to ensure I've completed by the end of the day. So I've got a number of different projects I work on, a number of different businesses that I work with, and I need to make sure that I'm moving each one of them forward, and specifically I have to focus on certain ones at certain times to make sure that it progresses in a structured fashion.
Absolutely. Now, you are also a podcaster. You have that five-star rated podcast. Tell us a little bit about that and what led you to do that.
That's a great question, because podcasting, I think, is such a powerful medium. I've watched experts like you grow their audiences and the reach and the influence they have as a consequence of a podcast. And I found for myself, I have a great message, and I've been saying a lot on a small scale to clients on a regular basis. So a lot of the first conversations I'll have with a client, the same 30 minutes, tailored to their specific situation. But the same 30 minutes, I find I was having over and over and over again. And I thought to myself, what is a way to reach people, make sure that they're hearing these types of conversations and learning from them? And obviously the podcast is the best way to do that, which is why I launched it.
Now, when can people catch that and where?
Yeah, the podcast drops once a week. We launch on Tuesdays. It's on all your platforms where you expect to find it. Same places where we're finding yours as well, Raven. Certainly iTunes and Spotify and iHeartRadio. You can also find it on the website, jpmcavoy.com. jpmcavoy.com, which is jpmcavoy.com.
And I'm just curious for the sake of my listeners and viewers, because I know there a lot of them are saying, well, you know, I don't really have anything going on, you know, where I need a lawyer now. Or so why would you recommend they listen? Is it for people that just need a lawyer, just find something, or what is it for?
Yeah, no, great question. I bring on a lot of thought leaders. So I bring on a lot of successful business owners. And as you say, certainly a business owner or somebody thinking of growing their business or selling it someday is going to benefit a lot by listening. But I find that by like the type of guests that you bring on, by listening to people that have done it well, that get it, that know how to talk about it, you're able to learn from them. So as I say, I bring in a lot of thought leaders that have done it successfully in their own realm. And I find the conversations allow us to talk about how they become successful and share some of their expertise, which yes, is great for a business owner, but also great for people that are just learning, looking to learn in general, right? It's nice to have an inspiring person on and hear from them.
Absolutely. So everyone tuning in, be sure to check out The Millionaire Lawyer. You're not going to want to miss that. And like you said, iHeart, iTunes, Spotify, just Apple Podcasts, just give it a listen. You're going to love it. And he's well connected, so you'll be quite impressed at the different people he brings in. And you're probably like me, JP. Even ordinary people have some of the most extraordinary stories and journeys of success, don't they?
They really do. You know, when you take a moment, and that's why the podcasts are so powerful. You take a moment to ask compelling questions as you do and understand what makes people tick and what makes them successful. It's really enriching to listen to people share their stories and to be able to learn from them. That's why I love podcasts. I love listening to yours. And of course, mine is a wonderful one too for anyone that's interested in listening more.
Okay, let's dive deep and talk some lawyer stuff. What do okay. successful business owners do to tilt the odds in their favor to where they may not even need a lawyer, but at least they are, let's say, educated as to how a lawyer can even make their business much more successful?
Yeah, that's a great question. And to really tilt the odds in their favor, I say to people, stand back and look at the big picture. Take a minute to reflect. Meditate upon, think about what you're trying to accomplish. If it's a business goal, great. If it's any goal in life, step back to think about where you're trying to get to. And then once you've done that consciously and thought about where you want to go, think about who are the people that are best placed to help you get there. As you say, it may not necessarily be a time to reach out to a lawyer, but it may be a time to reach out to a coach or an advisor or somebody that can help you get there. I find that too many people and people that aren't successful are the ones that don't think about the big picture and don't reach out for help. So the way to really tilt the odds in your favor are to step back, think about what the big goal is, and then reach out to get help when you're ready to take the steps to move it forward.
I love the fact that you said step back, but keeping it real, JP, sometimes that's easier to say it than to do it, isn't it?
It sure is. It's not an easy thing to do. And that's why, you know, from this conversation, it informs us to say it's important to do. It doesn't make it easy. Step back, think, reflect. You hear so many successful people that actually spend time meditating, thinking. What they're doing is planning things out. I mean, call it what you want, but they're taking a moment. They're not being distracted by all the information that's always coming at us. They're taking a step back. They're taking a moment's pause to think about it and then put a concrete plan in place. It's so important to do, and so many people don't do it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something huge. You know, I guess you could say a little thing, but a big thing. And, you know, we talked earlier about, you know, depending on when people are listening to this, but right now we're in the thick of getting through this coronavirus. And, you know, I think you know, that may have been God's plan here to have us all kind of take a pause and look into what, you know, look at what's really important. Like you said, take a step back and really observe things and assess things. And that's kind of where we're at now. We got lots of time to take back and can get a lot done during this time because we see clear. There's more clarification. And we're able to really look at what's a priority and what's not.
I think you're hitting it on the head. People are actually doing what I just described and what you just described is they're taking a moment to think now, mm-hmm. prioritizing mm-hmm. and think about what they actually want to accomplish. There are people pivoting, you know, changing the direction for their businesses. I mean, there's a lot of people that are out of work now. They're going to consider what they want to do next. Yes. I've got people reaching out that are saying, hey, I was thinking about buying a business. I think it's actually a good time to buy a business. I think that there might be some businesses that are distressed right now. I might be able, again, I don't know if opportunistic is the right way to describe it, but they say there might be an opportunity here because they're consciously thinking about what the next step might be. And they're deciding it's time to take action. And so for anybody that is sitting back and thinking, again, obviously it's a little bit easier to do during a COVID-19 time when everyone's being asked to stay home, but it's going to be a good practice. And I think people going forward are going to say, I realize that I learned something from that. I'm going to do the same thing as a part of a daily ritual on a go forward basis as well.
Yeah. And look at things more differently and what's really important and what really isn't, you know, family. Mm-hmm. How many times do we say we're mm-hmm. doing our business for our family, but we're not spending time with mm-hmm. our family? My husband and I pass each other like passing ships sometime, you know, his studio's upstairs, my studio's downstairs, and we're always going at it. And I'm assuming a lot of people are doing the same thing, but this is making us say, wait a minute, this has all been for the family, because now we're looking at a life threatening situation and things look different then, don't they?
Yeah, they really do. As you say, we're actually with family, we're thinking of family, and mm-hmm. I don't know how many times prior to recent times where you've actually Zoomed or reached out to family in a way that you haven't before, because it's now happening. People are now yeah. stopping by for visits, or there's virtual visits occurring that haven't happened. So it's making us actually realize, take a step back and think about what's important and make sure you're reaching out to the loved ones and the people that you care about on a regular basis.
Yeah, and pivoting is a good thing. So many times we've been doing our businesses for so long. I know I've been doing mine since 2006, and we've made different transitions for sure. But I think we were talking before the show, I was sharing with you that we're getting ready to start a agency for podcasters mm-hmm. to help them make money. So we are making a transition. We are pivoting, and it's stretching us and stretching ourselves in ways we did not know. And it brings me back to the lawyer thing, because before just doing my podcast and consulting, you know, I felt like, okay, you know, I'm okay. I don't need a lawyer. But now I'm starting to think, okay, so I don't know anything really about this, you know, having an agency and, you know, I better look into the laws of this, you know. So a lot of times we have to, I guess you could say, look at how are we going to secure our business if something goes wrong? And how do we secure our business to make sure things keep going right so we don't get any surprises that knock us down? So what does a lawyer do to help businesses get going, be on the right track? And then even to the point of, hey, you know, I can set this business up for me now, but later set it up for sale.
What a wonderful question, Raven. You know, you've almost condensed it into an essential for a successful business owner to ask that question right from the beginning. A lot of the times it doesn't involve a lot of legal, but it's good to get a little bit of legal to make sure you're on the right path. I love the way you phrase that question, because you said, from, you know, how do I set it up, make sure that I'm okay, make sure that I'm protected in a way that I can move forward, then obviously get to an end goal if it's ideally selling a business or doing something. That might involve a bit more legal at that point. But I find so many people are so reluctant. They're so worried to reach out and actually consult a lawyer that they generally have waited too long, and they've created a problem or they've done something that makes it more difficult and more expensive to deal with at a later time. So the way you just phrase that question is so key. It's to think about it and get just a little bit of advice right at the beginning. The typical advice is going to be just how you're deciding to set up, you know, your business. how you want to be structured for that success. A lot of times a lawyer is going to advise to actually create a corporation just to be incorporated. It's not a big step to actually be incorporated. And it certainly makes sense to put the corporation in place sooner rather than later. It's a bigger issue to form a corporation after you've been in business for some time. You then need to transfer everything into the business in a way that might even be a taxable event. So just by a little bit of advice early on saying, decide on the corporate legal structure you're going to carry on business with, put it into place, and then you can carry on. And you probably don't need a lot of legal between the time you created it and the time that you're going to your next step, perhaps selling the business. But if you've got it incorporated and structured properly, when you go to sell the business, it's going to be easier to do it, and you're going to put a lot more money in your pocket at the end of the day.
Let's talk about structure properly. Can you go in more detail about that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, ideally, people don't realize just by carrying on business, you are a legal entity, right? So that you are creating a corporate structure. If you're doing it on your own, you're a sole proprietor. It can be done as a sole proprietor. The good thing about being a sole proprietor is it's the easiest. You're carrying on. The bad thing of it is that if something happens to you, your business is at an end, right? So there's some risk to it, and there's no separation for tax or liability reasons if you carry on as a sole proprietor. You certainly can do it. As a lawyer, I like to talk about what people are trying to accomplish and if that's the best structure. If you're doing it with somebody else, you're not a sole proprietor, you're a partner, right? At a minimum, you're a partnership. Two or more people carrying on business with a view to a profit, that's a partnership as defined by the Partnerships Act. So just be aware of what the structure is if you do nothing. As I said earlier, best probably to be incorporated. It's not difficult to do. It creates a situation where there's a separation of liability. So you're protecting yourself personally and your personal assets. You're also likely going to be taxed more efficiently. So it likely makes the most sense to create that corporation and to create a structure by which you're incorporated. And that's what we're talking about as a lawyer when we're saying, think about what your structure is and do it as we sort of began this discussion today. Do it thoughtfully. Just think about what you're trying to accomplish. And ideally, if it's some form of future success, future sale, ideally you're actually incorporating. But that's what we're doing when we're talking about actually forming a corporation.
Good stuff. Okay. How sophisticated or expensive does the corporate structure need to be?
That's great. Now you sound like an accountant. So here you are, belying your accounting background, right? Yeah. It doesn't have to be overly sophisticated or expensive. If it's a smaller business where you're considering or likely to just have sort of organic growth and you expect the business may be sold for ideally hundreds of thousands of dollars, so not millions of dollars, you can likely just do a corporation with individuals as shareholders, right? So you're probably talking about something like $1,500 to put it in place, maybe $1,000, maybe probably $1,500 to put it in place if you're working with a lawyer. If you're going to be building a business that you expect there to be sort of rapid growth and perhaps someday sold for millions of dollars, ideally, right? We can all dream, but I've worked with a lot of companies where that's what their goal was. That was their intent was. They were planning on hiring numerous people. They were planning on expanding business. They thought at some point the business might be selling for millions of dollars. Got a lot of software companies as an example. They get a huge multiple on their sale, right? So they know that there's a possible return like that. For someone like that, we will generally put a more sophisticated structure in place. So as opposed to that sort of $1,500 type structure, you're talking about something that might be $5,000 or $10,000. And all you're doing at that stage is you're forming a corporation and you're forming holding corporations or family trusts to be shareholders as opposed to individuals. So you're creating layers of the corporation that will allow you to do some more sophisticated things later on down the road as you look for investments or as you look to possibly manage capital gains on a sale. So as I say, you can go more sophisticated if need be. You can buy the Cadillac of structures, like all things. A lawyer can upsell or create a more elaborate structure if need be, if there's a real calling for it. But if not, as I say, simply being incorporated is going to create a lot of advantages for a business owner.
Love it. Now, you know, I'm thinking, okay, I've got a podcast network, TV network. What if I decided, I hit 69 a couple of days ago. So let's say maybe when I'm 72, I want to sell these off, how much time do I need to prepare for a sale of my business?
Again, wonderful question. First of all, happy belated birthday. Wonderful 69. You say you talk about to the 72. You, again, belying your knowledge, are kind of asking the question the right way to say ideally 2 or 3 years. I mean, at a minimum, 2 or 3 years, because what you're doing is you're getting your structure in place in contemplation of a sale. And the IRS or any taxing authority doesn't want to see people just avoiding taxes. We mean, we all pay taxes, but they want to know that you've been doing thoughtful planning and you're not doing something just to avoid the taxes. If you're structuring things, ideally you got that structure in place for at least 2 years prior to a sale. And that means, as I say, it's not in contemplation of the sale. It's just good planning to do that. And that way you've got capital gains exemptions available too. So certainly, ideally, at least 2 years, if it's done just prior to sale, you're not going to maximize the benefits. So ideally, we're saying a couple of years. I say, ideally, you're talking to somebody, you're getting some advice from your lawyer, and when you're setting up the company originally, just to make sure you've got it sort of structured the right way, and then allow it to carry on, continue the business. And then ideally, as I say, if you're talking about a sale, you're talking to an accountant and a lawyer, somebody that's helping you structurally, ideally 2 years before the big event, so to speak.
Yeah. In fact, you and I were talking earlier before the show, and you were sharing with me that it's been a really rocking good time for you guys during this unfortunate coronavirus deal, because there are businesses that are in distress and they are worried about how long this is going to last, and so they want to sell off their business. Number one, is that a good or bad idea? And as an attorney, if one of our listeners is thinking that, what would you advise them right now?
Yeah, great question. And yes, so sort of as you describe, to give a bit more background, I work with a lot of entrepreneurs that are stepping back the way we described and thinking big picture. And I think that they all realize, I think a lot of us realize, we're going to come out the other end of this, right? And so the consideration just has to be, how long is it going to take us to get there? I have a number of people that have reached out to me, some repeat clients, but also other people just by reputation who've come to me to say, look, I'm going to take a run out of business right now. I know the business is distressed. I know that they can't carry on at length. And I've got the ability to fund this and carry it on for some period of time. So I'm going to put a lowball offer in to see if I can get that business, to see if someone's prepared to sell it. And there've been a couple of those that have been accepted. I think, as you were saying, we were talking offline, where I had one just come in yesterday. And I expect to see more of those. Again, I mean, we live in a free market economy. We have people that buy and sell things, and people that have deeper pockets than others. So that creates opportunities for those that are thinking big picture, that are able to move things forward in a way that might allow a business to continue to exist, and maybe they can make some money in the process.
Yeah, and here's the thing for all of us that are, are business owners. We can take this moment while we're kind of on pause and really look at the fact that, have we been looking at our business as more of a hobby, or have we really been looking at it as a business? I know that's what I've started to do. And I'll be the first to admit, I've been treating it, or maybe I should rephrase that. Maybe not, are we looking at it as a hobby or business? Are we treating it more as a hobby or business? Big difference, right, JP?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so interesting because, I mean, you've built a wonderful following, right? You have dedicated, loyal people and a brand. You've got a real impressive brand. And it's a reflection of your personality, but it's grown because it's become part of your business. And I say to people, there is value there. I've, as we even talk about the podcast industry, I've had clients that are buying and selling podcasts now. It's an asset that people develop, and yours is certainly another one that's being developed. So when you're talking in that 2 or 3 time frame, if you decide that it is something that you want to transition or sell to somebody else, I think there's going to be value there. I think there'll be value for that. And anybody that's got a podcast that's listening, think about it in the same kind of way. This is an asset. It's not just a hobby. It's something I'm growing as I grow a following, as I grow my intellectual property. There is something of value there, and perhaps I can monetize it by way of sale as well. It's certainly something that is available now and is only going to be more so in the future.
Absolutely. Love it. Love it. Love it. JP, this has been so, so great. I've got a couple more questions for you. One is, as someone, our viewers and listeners that are wanting to look into getting a lawyer and say, wow, JP really got me thinking now, And I never thought about a lawyer, but maybe I should look into it. What are some key core values they need to look at when choosing a lawyer?
Wow, what a great question. And it's one that doesn't get explored very often, particularly with attorneys, right? Because attorneys I'll be the first to say this. I think rightfully have a difficult reputation because of the way we've talked before about opportunistic. There are lawyers that try to take advantage of situations, and it's unfortunate. And, you know, it's a blemish on the legal profession, and it's unfortunate because it actually turns people away from what might actually really benefit from a lawyer. So when you say ask or what the core values are, I would start actually by looking at the type of attorney. Generally, a business lawyer, a person that's not a litigator, is going to be better suited. And they've likely chosen to be in that area because they don't have the right taste for litigation. Let's say it that way. There are times where you need a good litigator. You need somebody that is, you know, a real SOB. But for the most part, you don't need somebody like that. And so I would look to think about how is the person built their business, right? Are they somebody that's a builder? Is there somebody that seems to care about people and making something better happen? And if that's the case, and as I say, a lot of business lawyers are those first to begin with, I think you'll get some indication. And so I would actually ask that question. Why have you chosen to be in this area of law? And how have you grown your own business? Is a great question to ask somebody, to ask an attorney before deciding whether or not you want to work with them and whether they're the right attorney to help you with your business and grow your business.
Ooh, love it, love it, love it. Wow. I am just so, so glad that you were able to carve out some time and be here today. And, you know, I don't want to take up much of your time, but you have given us so much to think about. I know you guys, if you're just joining us, you're going to want to catch the beginning of this, depending on where you're listening to it, whether on radio or podcast. You don't want to miss not one thing. Our guest is J.P. McEvoy. Again, he's a speaker, writer, lawyer, and educator, and managing partner of Conduct Law. And he is known as the Millionaire Lawyer. He has a 5-star rated podcast. You want to check that out on iTunes, iHeart, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. It's everywhere. And JP, to kind of wrap it up, what does it mean to have your business Millionaire Lawyer assessed? I've heard you say that before.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Reverend. And first, before I begin to answer that question, thanks for having me on. Thanks for sharing me with your audience. You are a wonderful presence. You always have been. Every time you and I are able to interact, it is always a wonderful and warming experience for me. And I know you bring that to your listeners every day. So thank you for that. And thanks for having me on today.
I appreciate you.
For the Millionaire's Lawyer, when we talk about Millionaire's Lawyer Assessed, I have a program where I'll look at where somebody's at. I'll take a snapshot of where their business is and assess the business as it's currently structured and its aptitude for success, as I call it. And with that assessment, that original Millionaire's Lawyer Assessment, we'll talk about whether or not somebody's got a business in a state that is projecting or will project to be a business that creates a millionaire for the business owner. So upon the sale of the business, will it be something that projects for them to be become a millionaire? Now, a lot of them don't, but through the course of assessing the business, we're able to identify some of the areas that can be improved upon or a business owner can take to heart to increase the value of their business. It may not make them a millionaire, but it might. And so I say to people, let's assess the business for you if you are so interested. And if we can, we'll put you on the right path to achieve millionaire success. The Millionaire's Assessment can be found at jpmcavoy.com, the site that we referenced before, which is just jpmcavoy.com.
Awesome. Say that one more time. We want to make sure they get that because I know people are going to want to connect with you, JP.
Thanks so much, Raven. Yes, so the website or all the things that we talked about today, you can find at jpmcavoy.com. That's me, obviously, the Millionaire's Lawyer. jpmcavoy.com is jpmcavoy.com.
All right, y'all, there you have it. Check JP out. Absolutely. You know, you don't want to miss a thing this man has to say. As you can see, he has it going on. All that we used to say back in the day, all that bag of chips and some M&Ms on the side. JP McEvoy, check him out. Be sure to tune in to the Millionaire Lawyer podcast and give it a 5-star rating. And by the way, speaking of 5-star rating, be sure to leave a review and a 5-star rating for us. Hey, this is Raven, the Talk Show Maven. I'm out of here. See you later.